About 3 weeks ago, I wrote hopefully about the then forthcoming Minsk meeting of President Poroshenko of Ukraine and Russian President Putin. Hi, I'm Charles Goyette. With both countries suffering economically, I expressed the hope that some foreign policy realism would prevail and that the Ukraine situation could be de-escalated. And while the stand down of a dangerous confrontation that could sweep the whole world up in warfare was our first interest, we also hoped that gold would fall on reduced tensions, providing us another opportunity to add to our long-term holdings. The Minsk meeting seemed to produce nothing more than handshakes and photo ops. I was forced to conclude that our hopes were dashed. Even though the press was full of accounts of sanctions on Russia then being cranked up and more NATO forces being deployed hither and yon, and even though gold began inching its way back up in the meeting's aftermath, it now looks like we all jumped the gun. The real question was why gold was not screaming higher at the time. The escalation of events in Ukraine was a powerful propellant of gold prices earlier in the year. But then, with a failed summit, gold moved, but only a little. Well, there are two possible answers, and actually perhaps the truth is a combination of the two. First, perhaps more happened at the Minsk meeting than met the eye. If no substantive agreement was reached, perhaps the parties to the confrontation came away with a more clear understanding of one another's positions and resolve. WikiLeaks documents reveal that as far back as 2008, a confidential memo from the U.S. ambassador to Russia warned the joint chiefs in the Pentagon that Russia feared encirclement and that a strong division in Ukraine over NATO membership could involve, quote, violence or at worst civil war. That was in 2008. And in that event, the event of civil war warned the memo, Russia would have to decide whether to intervene, a decision that Russia does not want to have to face. Well, in any case, a shaky ceasefire is in place for now, and gold is back below its 200-day moving average. The other possibility is that neither the world nor the gold market really much care about a divided Ukraine. It is certainly conceivable that a Russian land passage to Crimea through Russian-speaking eastern Ukraine is an inevitability, and that the real threat to the region is not a fluid Ukraine-Russian border, but American warmongers instead. It is a peculiar American illusion to think that national borders remain fixed through time. Ethnic realities force border changes all the time. The process of border change may be working out now in Iraq, and even the independence of Scotland from the United Kingdom has become a very real prospect. Has it been forgotten along the way as well that the U.S. itself was party to the recent splintering of Yugoslavia into six small states? No one has explained why the pockets of the American people should be emptied to prevent Ukraine from dividing. Meanwhile, despite tough talk, nobody much, except in Washington where they won't feel the consequences, nobody much thinks that amped up European Union sanctions on Russia are a good idea. Most people are willing to hold on for a while and see if the September 5th ceasefire holds. If it does, it will be enormously frustrating to the bring-it-on bunch in Washington, whose quite visible machinations were responsible for triggering the entire Ukrainian affair and carnage to begin with. But if they can be held at bay, I suspect gold prices will move even lower, at least for the time being. For your freedom and prosperity, I'm Charles Goyette.
For information on how to order Charles Goyette's Freedom and Prosperity newsletter and more, please log on to moneyandmarkets.com or call toll-free 1-800-291-8545.